dance your ass, ass off. Dance your ass, ass off. Dance your ass, ass off. Kiss your ass goodbye. Dance your ass, ass off. Dance your ass, ass off. Dance your ass, ass off. You gotta move your butt to get your ass goodbye.
Folks, how's it going? This is DJ Kendall firing off the hits and the news from downtown Seattle on Radio X. We are doing an anti-LEIU call-in show today from 4 till 7, so we got about a half hour left. So if you have any ideas or thoughts or opinions that you'd like to express over the airwaves here, or the phone line waves, please give us a call. The phone number is 262-0721. And I have MP3 here queued up for us to listen to. And I'm going to play that next. So let's check that out. This is the Undercover Police. Undercover Police instigate unrest at permitted June 2nd anti-LEIU march. So here it is.
My name is KL Shannon, and I was part of the security team last night. And I think that while we're talking about what happened with the police and all, we need to really ask the city council and the mayor, Mayor Nichols, to ask the undercover police officers that I feel, from what we observed, instigated all of this. Because they decided to go after this kid that was on the roof, yes. He was trying to burn the flag. Yes, he was trying to do it without success. When they pulled him out of the crowd, when the kid got off the roof, the police gave us a 2-minute warning. Why would these plainclothes officers, why would they go after the kid right then and there. When, especially when you know how tense the situation was. They could have waited until we went to Westlake. That right there was a provocateur act. It was already tense. And it's clear that the police are not communicating with each other because they did not even know that those officers were undercover. When they threw that kid over the barrier, and they were trying, the undercover officers were trying to get over the barrier, they had to tell the officers that were standing there did not know that they were plainclothes. They were saying, we're cops. So what needs to happen is that city council needs to ask those plainclothes officers, demand that they come and ask, why did you do that? Why would you do that when the police gave us a 2-minute warning? And then you do something like that when you know the situation is tense. What happened last night did not have to happen. So we cannot forget about those undercover officers. We're talking about what the police did. We cannot forget about those undercover officers. There was a number of undercover officers in the crowd that instigated a lot of this, and it did not have to happen. I was part of the security team. I saw what happened on Fifth Avenue. And as far as the crowd throwing things, that didn't occur until after the police started spraying people. And yes, I can say that because I got shot with the rubber bullet. I got pepper sprayed in my face. We were trying to get people moving
last night,
and I think that while we're talking about what happened with the police and all, we need to really ask the city council and the mayor, Mayor Nichols, to ask the undercover police officers that I feel, from what we observed.
Sorry, that's playing over again. We're just going to listen to some music, and Kate's got some information on the FCC. DJ Kendall firing off the hits in the news on Radio X downtown Seattle. We're doing an anti-LEIU call-in show today. So if you have anything you'd like to say on the air, please give us a call, 262-0721. We got Kate, and she's got some information about the FCC and some stuff they're trying to pull. So here is Kate.
Hey, this is Kate out at Radio X live in Seattle. It is 6:45, and this was passed a couple days ago. It has to do with the FCC, and I was just going to ask Brandon, why are these issues interrelated?
Well, on a couple levels, I think they're interrelated. First of all, I think a lot of activists are involved in the FCC ruling that just came out, or they're involved in the LEIU protests. There's actually a couple other issues that are pretty prominent on the global stage, but so in one sense, they're distracting attention from each other as they occurred. The significant event occurred on the same day. And for me, the reason they're really related is because the reason nobody knows about the FCC ruling is because... Now I'm just scattered. We got Kate has left us. Kate is no longer involved here. All right, so I guess I'm in charge. So the reason I think they're involved is that the reason nobody knows about the LEIU is because the majority of people get their information from television, which is primarily controlled by corporations in this country. And the FCC ruling is going to allow further consolidation of television. If you're familiar with Clear Channel, they rose to power after the 1996 Telecommunications Act that allowed more consolidation among radio stations. And if you are a radio FM radio listener, I'm pretty sure you've noticed the decrease in diversity and quality in local radio programming. And now the new softening of regulation, allowing more consolidation, is going to be the clear channelization of television, and we're going to see less and less diversity on our television stations. So to me, these two issues are pretty related in that we're not getting anything about the LEIU or anything about the FCC in correct proportion from our corporate media. And that, I believe, is because our corporate media is, highly corporatized and certainly a little bit too monopolized. So Kate's going to provide a little bit of information on that later. She's investigating what's coming up with current events. I have a current event to announce, so I'm going to get right on that. Bam. Shut down the LEIU. Stop police brutality. This is a event that's going to happen Friday, June 6th at 12 noon, says this little flyer. And I'll just read it for you folks in Radio Land that can't see it with me. The LEIU in Seattle, June 2nd to 6th, is an anti-people, anti-democratic organization. Kate thinks that's funny.
It is funny.
I think that's scary.
It's a huge statement.
Which engages in and coordinates spying, infiltration, slander, psy war, and criminalization of the people. This is kind of a...
It's kind of dramatic.
It's kind of a dramatic flyer. But, you know,
dramatic.
It gets people's attention, you know. What do you want, a flyer that says, well, we want to talk?
I want the truth.
You want the truth? Well, I think KTTH, is that the new AM radio station? Because you deserve the truth? That's their motto, so you should just tune into AM. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do they talk about? Are they talking anti-LEIU? Is that what they're talking?
We have somebody in the background that reports that... Is it KTTV? I'm sorry, what's the radio station? KTTH, a new conservative talk radio station here in the Seattle area. And one observer here reports that that they say it's all the Mexicans' fault. Is that what you said?
Have you heard the Michael Savage show?
The Michael Savage show. This works. This doesn't work so well because... The folks in Radio Land can't hear you, sir, so please join us, but it sounds like we got some good information coming there. So wrapping up, is this crazy enough for you? Wrapping up, I'm announcing a Friday, June 6th event. It's going to be at 12 noon at the Red Lion Hotel, 5th and Pike. So the LEIU was given a proper unwelcome. Give them a proper don't farewell in front of the hotel Friday, June 6th at noon. So now we're going to pick up comments from Kate on the recent FCC ruling.
Well, on the last topic, actually, I'd like to say that I'm a conservative also. You know, and I heard someone say this because conserving, like, what does the word conservative mean? Like, I want to conserve things also. I just think that's a very silly word to throw around, like liberal or radical or just, you know. All right. So the FCC has just, let me see, the Seattle Times on June 3rd, which is just yesterday. Let me see. They said that they eased restrictions on owning media outlets. And I'll just go ahead and read a little bit from the article. Despite fierce opposition, a sharply divided Federal Communications Commission yesterday approved an overhaul of the limits on how much media companies are allowed to own. The changes would permit a new wave of consolidation among newspaper, television, and radio companies, which proponents say will increase competition and produce more and better news. Opponents fear that the new rules place too much power over public opinion in the hands of a few giant media corporations. It looks like the vote was 3-2 among party lines, and the five-member commission largely lifted the 28-year-old ban that prohibited newspaper from buying a television or radio station in the same city. The panel also allowed broadcast networks to buy more stations at the local and national levels. Yesterday's vote was the culmination of months of intense corporate and public lobbying. Media companies such as News Corporation and the Walt Disney Company said that their businesses were hamstrung by obsolete rules that prevented their broadcast networks and stations from competing effectively. Now, it just seems like the obvious question would be, how does rolling back restrictions on how many stations one can own and consolidating further into having less corporations owning more stations promote competition? Like, that's the first question that comes into my mind. And
it seems like it might promote profitability. I'll give them that. Efficiencies.
I mean, Clear Channel owns 188 radio stations around the country or something. But they're... it's higher than that?
1,200.
1,200?
1,200.
I know that they're actually storing companies or stations under other people's names. And in light of the FCC rolling back these regulations, now they have an opportunity to be one with their stations again, to get back with them, you know. So it was given front page coverage in the Seattle Times, as well as in the Wall Street Journal. But it's not good news, and and I hate to see bad news on the front page. That's how it goes. At least it got coverage. It was right next to the Hundreds Protest Police Conference with the flag flyer who's face down on the pavement with police officers standing over him.
This is the juvenile, right? I heard he was 15 years old. Looks like he's got a hand around his neck, at least one knee in his back, and his face is definitely on the ground.
He doesn't look like he's breathing well.
He looks uncomfortable.
Well, after he got the shit kicked out of him, I would imagine that would be in an uncomfortable position to relax in.
Yeah, I heard it was a boot fest, which was disturbing.
What's a boot fest again?
I think that's where there's boots involved all over you.
And I'm not talking about... They need to take yoga classes.
I'm not talking about just on your feet either. Boots to the head. Protest leads to clashes, arrests. Wonder if the undercover officers are mentioned in this Seattle Times article.
Well, they got the number about right. 700 demonstrators that began marching around 7 p.m. along Fifth Avenue from Westlake Park and then paused in front of the Red Lion Hotel, where the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit conference is being held this week. You know, I heard that this is kind of separate, but I heard that their golf tournament was called off, and I was seeing people walk in front of the Red Lion with golf clubs. So what's up?
Well, I mean, they can still golf.
Where are they golfing? The lobby? I mean...
Probably elsewhere around the city. Or, of course, since this is an intelligence organization, they figured, releasing some incorrect intelligence, such as the canceling of the tournament, would be productive to their uses.
I'm just reading further on in this article. It says, it says that the mood quickly changed from carnival-like to confrontational. The police said that sticks, bottles, and ball bearings were hurled at the officers, prompting them to herd the crowd. Sorry, I'll finish reading. Back to Westlake Park, where it quickly disbanded. And I wonder why it would disband. I mean, why would you disband when concussion grenades and pepper spray were being... I mean, why?
The story I heard from Kale Shannon was that the police issued a two-minute warning.
Now, who's Kale Shannon?
Kale Shannon is one of the organizers. She was on the security team, which is, I guess, responsible for helping to manage the protesters. The police gave a two-minute warning, and then within that two-minute period, started firing off this broad array of weaponry. And, of course...
So is a Coke bottle weaponry? I would like to know.
Well, I think a Coke bottle hurled at you would be weaponry, yeah.
It is? Okay.
Well, I would feel that
a
way.
A full one or an empty one or both?
I would feel that either of them would be considered weaponry. Perhaps not in the scale of, the mother of all bombs, but...
What would you do if a Coke bottle was hurled at you? What kind of response would that get?
Well, I would run away. If I was paid to stand there and... address the situation.
Mm-hmm.
What would I do? I guess I would. I guess I would call for a dispersal of the crowd.
For a Coke bottle?
Right. If somebody was throwing Coke bottles at me, I might say, "You all need to go home now."
Really?
Yeah. That I think would be an appropriate response.
I don't know. I think maybe we should take that individual aside. Maybe send him home to his mom. Ground him for a couple weeks. But I don't know if really I would call for the whole crowd to disperse. Because if the police feel that they're babysitting people that have a permit while they're on the clock, I mean, these people protesting are not getting paid to be there. So it shouldn't be like put out of their normal duties, you know, on the beat. I don't know. I just kind of feel like it shouldn't have to be this way. And it just kind of seems like... And I look over, like, the police officers' faces, and they just look really scared, like, when they're out there. And I'm not sure, like, what causes this fear.
I think you nailed it earlier. It's a complete lack of yoga.
Yoga. Well, they took out their aggression, though. They got it out, so.
I don't think they got it all out. I have an interview that I'd like to play with Larry Hildes, who was shot in the back. He was wearing a... lime green shirt and a neon green hat that said Legal Observer.
Did they see him?
We're
camouflage colors, yeah, in the city?
Yeah, we're left to believe that they did spy the lime green color he was
wearing. The LEIU or the police? Or did the police call the LEIU and then they called the police?
It's a closed loop.
We wouldn't know.
All right, well, here's this report. There's actually an informational picket going on against Starbucks, and I'm here with Larry Hildes, a lawyer with the National Lawyers Guild.
Yes, that's correct.
I was curious if you could relay to our listeners the events that occurred that resulted in your injury on June 2nd.
Sure. We had a team of legal observers out. We had five from the National Lawyers Guild, and there was actually a couple from the ACLU as well. At the demonstration, he's okay, Monday night, and totally peaceful demonstration. The most disruptive thing that occurred was a guy got on the awning and tried to burn a flag unsuccessfully. Which, last I checked, burning a flag was still legal. He got down, went into the crowd, two plainclothes cops came running up, threw him over the barricades and started beating him up. And actually, I just got a report that he was shot in the head with a rubber bullet from really close range. At the point that they really started beating him up...
Has his name been released?
I have his name. I don't know if it's public information yet. He's also a juvenile. As they really started beating him up, the cops started moving the crowd and using their bikes as weapons and pepper spraying and throwing concussion grenades and driving the crowd down the street. my wife was hit in the back of the leg with a bicycle and pushed. I got down to the end of the block. People who, and my wife was also there as a legal observer, and were wearing lime green t-shirts and neon green hats that say legal observer. It's impossible to miss what we're doing there. Got down to the end of the block and started interviewing and taking statements from people who had pepper spray pouring off of their faces. Legal observer for the ACLU had a bike shoved into her lip and had a split lip and had blood pouring all over the place. And they kept attacking the crowd and moving people down. Ended up on 4th. And they sealed off 5th and Pike. And they sealed off three directions at 5th and Union. And would only let people go towards 4th on Union. They claimed they wanted to disperse the crowd. They drove them in a circle.
Is this after the large display of force with the concussion grenades and the pepper spray?
There were several of those. That was the first. So after the first one, the crowd is coming down. I got called over to 4th and Union to do some interviews with people who had been attacked, and I was, you know, getting the medics and getting pictures taken and taking names and numbers and statements, and all hell broke loose behind us. And the cops had come around and were throwing concussion grenades. People got hit with concussion grenades and it moved partway down the block. The crowd started running in panic back towards Westlake. I was doing an interview on the fly with someone who had been hit in the arm with a concussion grenade, and they just opened fire on us. I got hit between the shoulder blades with what we think was probably a rubber bullet. I never saw it. It hit very hard. And any of the non-lethal munitions are supposed to be fired at the ground. They are not supposed to hit anybody above the waist because they can kill them. And we have people who are hit in the head with them. I was hit between the shoulder blades, straight on.
And what were you doing at the time you were hit?
I was running. I was running and keeping pace with a guy who was being carried along by two medics and getting his name and number so we could reach him afterwards to get a full statement, writing down what I could, and, you know, moving very quickly back towards Westlake.
Away from the police.
Away from the police. That's how I got shot square in the back and got knocked to the ground, and two people helped me to my feet, and we continued to run. My back was starting to really hurt. It was, you know, felt like it was burning, but they hit me in the spine, so I had pain all up and down my back. But I kept doing interviews, getting statements. They started arresting people on the periphery here. They arrested a guy for crossing the street to go get his car and charged him with pedestrian interference. And in the midst of talking to somebody, I did a couple of press interviews. In the midst of talking to somebody, my back went into total spasms and I collapsed. So I ended up at Swedish for a couple hours getting checked out, and my whole back is still really, really sore. But I'm here.
Do you plan to pursue legal action against the SPD for this?
No question. Absolutely. I do. My wife does. And we will also bring legal action for all of the people who are injured who want us to. And we took dozens and dozens of statements on Monday, and we've taken a bunch more today.
In the papers, several times it was stated that no injuries were reported to police. I'm curious what your suggestion would be to people who were injured. What should they do?
Not report it to the police, but that is a lie, because the police saw people injured. I went to the ground immediately in front of a police line. Several people did. There were ambulances called, and they saw people who they injured. People called 911. The woman whose lip was split open was assaulted by a cop with a bike, and he certainly saw it. Everybody on that block saw it. They should get medical treatment. They should document everything that happened. They should file complaints, and they should take legal action. But there's no reason to. The police are lying, and the police will continue to lie. There's no reason to report stuff to them. There is a great deal of reason to report stuff about them.
And can you tell people how they should file a complaint?
What
is the complaint procedure? There is a city complaint procedure.
What I have been told is that people should not be filing the complaint without having consulted an attorney first.
Yeah.
Because you want to be very careful about the way you word it and make sure that you word it in a way that helps your case.
And would you like to identify yourself?
My name is Karen Weill, W-E-I-L-L, and I am Larry's legal assistant and wife. Okay.
And fellow victim.
And fellow victim.
And you can call our office. You can also call the National Lawyers Guild office. And our office number is 360-715-9788. Even if people don't want us to represent them, we're still happy to give information on the process and refer them to somebody else.
So if a person has contacted a lawyer and is happy with their legal representation, can you provide some information on then how they should proceed?
There's a complaint form available at City Hall. They should fill it out in conjunction with the lawyer. They'll ask for a description of the incident. They should be very careful what they do and do not include. Make sure they include all of the pertinent details, especially if they were arrested. They don't want to give any information that might incriminate them or somebody else.
So a police complaint that's filed haphazardly or incorrectly could be damaging to the person who files it.
Absolutely. You're signing it under penalty of perjury. They can try to use it. And I'm sure they've pulled every other game I've ever seen. I'm sure they will try to do that. So you want to do it, you just want to be careful and you want to do it right.
Public Enemy, coming up right here, Revolver Lucian.
Come on, yeah. The rap Superman cut off the pro.
This is Radio X in Seattle. Yeah, we just had Public Enemy. But before that, we were talking, or we were listening to an MP3 interview that Brandon went out and did with Larry Hildes. And he was wearing bright green, like fluorescent green, in Seattle. And he was shot. So I'm thinking, like, this is just my speculation, but I'm thinking that you could probably spot him in a crowd. Especially when most people at protests, like, that I've observed are wearing black. I don't know. I could be wrong. But back to what we were interconnecting this, but let me see. LEIU protest, and this is from June 3rd again, out of the Seattle Times. And it's looking like they have like a pretty good article for once. It looks like the report was from the hotel windows above. People attending the LEIU conference watched the spectacle. I'm assuming this was a demonstration. With bottles of beer in their hand, the front of the hotel was lined with state troopers and Seattle police in riot gear, while dozens of bicycle officers kept the crowd to its prescribed route. So I'm assuming that's what they're going to continue to call their actions. Just keeping the crowd in its permit limitations, you know, to its prescribed route. I'm not sure if they overreacted. The video footage seems to say that, which Q13 actually came in here. And they wanted our footage because they didn't want to get pepper sprayed all over their suits. And so they actually lost out on their video footage. They got pushed aside. And so they actually had to come in here and talk to a gentleman. They interviewed him and looked at his footage of Monday's riot. So I didn't catch their broadcast. I have no clue what they broadcast. Maybe a little bit of it. We can have hope. So back to the article. It says, depending on who's talking, the LEIU conference is either the arrival of George Orwell's big brother or a benign organization of law enforcement types intent on making the United States a safe within its borders. Let me see. No one outside of the law enforcement or some select private security agency knows, because the conference is closed to the public. The secrecy hasn't helped the LAIU quash claims by protesters that the participants are learning how to better spy on Americans. I guess people just need something to worry about, as if there isn't enough, said U.S. Attorney John McKay. So I'm like wondering what else he has going on in his life that like compares to the LEIU conference. Like, I don't know. This seems like a pretty big worry for me. I'm not sure about. John McKay doesn't think so. And he's a U.S. attorney and he spoke at the conference. So he might know what's going on and he doesn't think there's any reason to worry. So maybe we could all just go home now. I don't know. There isn't any reason to tell anyone. That's a good point. We'll never know, I don't think. Maybe in 50 years it'll be declassified and we can know what goes on in the Red Lion rooms besides golf playing, you know. I don't.
Well, I personally met two independent journalists who signed up for the LEIU, registered at the website. One of them received a telephone call several days before she left her home state. She traveled to Seattle, Washington. Oh, sorry. The telephone message said, yeah, you're all set. You're all registered. Come on down. You will have press credentials. She shows up, and they say, no. You've been denied.
Where was she from?
Michigan.
What organization? What
I'm not sure. She's an independent journalist.
Well, also according to John McKay, if people could attend, they'd find it all pretty innocent. So we might know. What do we have queued up here?
Nothing.
All right, we'll keep going on this LEIU thing. It's happening until Friday. What's that? Well, it is a secret intelligence group. So we're not going to be calling him up. I don't think we have a phone number. Is that correct, Brandon? Is that what you were telling me the other day? We don't have their phone number?
Correct, yeah. There's very little public information available for the LEIU.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that they're not accountable for the Information Act. We can't see what they're spying on us about. But in the guise of terrorism, a lot of things have been passed, the U.S. Patriot Act, and everyone seems pretty gung-ho because there's a lot of dangerous people and dangerous information going on. And if we knew about it, you know, what would happen if we knew?
Everything?
If we knew what they were, what the LEIU was up to, for instance, what would happen?
I'd probably shit my pants.
Well, we could. What do they have to hide? That was the question asked. What do they have to hide? I'm not really sure. I guess they're protecting me from myself. You know.
Well, quoting somebody, I don't know who it is. A free society neither needs nor tolerates secret police.
It's just unfortunate. We're supposed to live in a democratic society where the people have a voice, at least, and it's hard enough with mainstream media not covering the full story or giving it much airtime, for that matter. And then, what are we listening to?
Well, you mentioned nobody knowing about the LEIU. Mm-hmm. I was actually over at the informational picket against Starbucks happening at Westlake Plaza today, June 4th, and interviewed some people on the streets asking them about the LEIU, and I got some interesting comments. Not many, well, let me restate that. One out of the six people that I asked had ever heard of the LEIU before this weekend's events. So perhaps I'll play a clip of that now.
Sounds like a plan. Radio X in Seattle.
Yeah, is that all right?
Sure.
Could I get your, have you ever heard of the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit?
No. Rings a bell, but no, basically.
Right. Perhaps I could get your opinion on where you stand on the balance between perhaps security at one end and freedoms at the other.
I'll see the details, you know.
150,000
it's kind of
died in World War II to preserve our freedom.
This guy has thoughts.
Do you want to comment on the appropriate balance between securities at one end and freedoms?
We're currently in the state of war at this point.
So how does that relate to, I mean, can you just, your opinion on how that relates to personal security, I mean, personal freedoms? And
sometimes in the state of war, it's unparalleled situations are necessary.
So you were saying that the situation we're in today in America warrants a certain amount of
most people don't realize that we're basically in a state of war right now, and that started on September 11th.
Yeah.
And it's a unique war in the fact that you're dealing with people that are stealth in their own way, and a lot of the freedoms of this country are being taken advantage of because of that. The freedom to enter this country for one reason, under student visas and that sort of stuff.
Where are you from?
I'm from here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, you know, in general, that there is definitely, you know, there should be a certain level of tightening, you know, or you're going to see way worse catastrophes than happened on September 11th, by far. You know, and I would really hate to see, you know, it's either going to be New York, Washington, or L.A., and I would really hate to see a dirty bomb happen that way, because then you're basically looking at having to tear down buildings that you love to a certain extent. Not that a materialistic building is something you love, but there's a certain heritage that this very young country has in its own way.
I think we should protect our national monuments and things like that.
Exactly.
Because it is a symbol.
And the psychological damage that would cause would be horrible. You know,
just like the Twin Towers.
You know, I mean, we're on the West Coast, and so we're fairly sheltered from
insulated
the
from.
Pain that most of those people went through. If you were living in New York, there's a lot of scars and a lot of pain there, you know. And
I think the Homeland Security is awfully stringent in some areas, but then lax in others.
But at the same time.
Okay, so Homeland Security. How many issues did this guy bring up? And he's actually bringing up a lot of the points that I'm hearing from people when I talk about the LEIU and the Patriot Act, which a lot of people don't know about. I don't know how much coverage that got on the, in the media. So looking at this, what do we have? I mean, do we need this organization? A lot of the people I talk to say we don't need this. That it's for our protection that we don't know who's being watched, what groups are being targeted and under surveillance. And we have here joining us Nathaniel. And what do you think?
Does this microphone work?
Oh, good. You're on the air.
How far does it stretch?
Thank you for that comment.
Oh, you're not going to tell me. You're going to make me experiment. Ooh. Not very far.
So, I have another audio clip lined up here. This is another, I just cut off Nathaniel. He was being a little too loosey-goosey here at Radio X. And why, I want to ask you, the person these sound waves are traveling into, why haven't you called in? Our number is 206-262-0721. We want to hear from you. And we got to hear from this guy. This is the only person that I interviewed who knew of the LEIU before this weekend's events. So.
Okay, and I just had one more thing to say before we throw on this soundbite, because it just occurred to me that this mass paranoia is what I'm going to go ahead and call it in this country, that is being hyped up every night. And I think it was for about a year in a lot of the articles that mentioned anything about the Middle East or any terrorist organization. And I'm not, you guys know that I'm not, like, saying it's okay to fly planes into buildings. But in the Cold War, we were so worried that the commies were coming to get us. They probably still have missiles aimed at us at this moment. And this isn't to cause some mass paranoia again. It's just to say, like, how is this any greater or less of a threat than the missiles that could come and hit us? So we've pretty much turned the name from the Reds or the commies to the terrorist. And this is being this could be used interchangeably. I don't know how much has changed on the 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock news. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you for sharing.
So can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We're gonna go to Nathaniel's comfortable now. He had to adjust the studio just a little bit. We're gonna go to this audio clip now. Did you want to say something before that?
I think they're all getting drunk and watching HBO in the conference rooms. That's what I think.
Can you produce any evidence of this?
What? The LEIU?
The members or just the
what?
Unit? So we're just actually wondering who's getting drunk and where Nathaniel's can cite this information from. This unit of intelligence, this law enforcement intelligence, who is this exactly?
Well, I mean, if they don't want you to know what they're doing in there, why presume they're getting any work done? That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know how good people would be at golfing if they were smashed. And I'm seeing an awful lot of...
I'd like to take issue with that. I actually golf better when I'm smashed.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, we're going to go to this clip now. The only person I spoke to out at Westlake Plaza that had ever heard of the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit before this weekend. I'm here with another bystander observing the protest against Starbucks. Sir, can you tell me if you've heard of the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit before?
Of course I have. It's been around for a long time.
And are you affiliated with any law enforcement agencies?
No.
How did you first hear about it?
Well, NCIC has been a process that's been around since I can remember, and then I think in the mid-80s they started having private organizations compile data on other than criminally prosecuted people.
Can you help our listeners that may not be familiar, including myself, with NCIC?
Well, NCIC is a national database, but that's somebody that's actually been arrested and been booked. So if you've ever been arrested or fingerprinted, you're on an NCIC, what they call an NCIC hit list. And it's a data that's shared between police work, throughout the country, throughout the United States. It's a federal agency, so it's run by the federal government. This came in, as far as I remember, like mid-80s. And what it does is it takes data from somebody that obtains a business license or any other format, not being prosecuted, not being arrested, but where you're fingerprinted to, like, for instance, if you've got an insurance license, we're fingerprinted. I'm an insurance agent. So if you've been fingerprinted for that, you're also photographed, and then they can exchange that data, non-criminal data. Now, if you're at a particular event and they want to profile you through cameras or whatever, or even at airports, if you have that kind of data, being a person that had a license, a real estate license, whatever, they can now match your identification through that process, being a non-criminal type database. So what this protest is about is these are non-criminally prosecuted people where they're exchanging this information with police agencies throughout the United States. And why? These people haven't been prosecuted. They're not arrest records. It's other types of ways they've gained their data and their information.
Are you familiar with the previous violations, or at least what the LEIU has been accused of? Where,
well, there was one in Sacramento that I knew
this
about.
This is the ACLU lawsuit, right? I'm referring to, where the people's political activities were that were they were right. They were targeted for their political activities.
Right.
Are you familiar with any of those?
I heard rumor. I don't know if it was actual basis. I remember reading something about after WTO, people that were in attendance that were actually observed by plain clothes, photographed by whatever means they did at the I was at WTO, so I know there was a lot of photographing going on, and then they took these pictures to identify these people at the protest, mostly the people that were involved in wearing more signage and, you know, anti-establishment type lettering were being more scrutinized. That's why everybody was hiding their face. Anybody that felt like they were going to be identified was hiding their face, if you recall, during a WTO, because they were using digital cameras and a lot of people being photographed. I was photographed. I was interviewed on Channel 7, Channel 5, Channel 4. But, yeah, I mean, it's being done as, you know, they're using this as Homeland Security. Homeland Security is a joke. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's just a way that they're going to take more of our freedom of rights and our, you know, tapping of our phones and tapping of our emails and looking at our hard drives is a way to say that they're trying to protect Homeland Security. And this is all part of that. And it's basically sharing documentation from people that have never been prosecuted of a crime. So why is that information being passed? If you're not a suspect with a criminal record, why should you give up your right for your documents and your data to be passed around to law enforcement agencies? You've never been accused of a crime.
I am.
What's the Constitution?
But what? What are people listening to?
I think it's Radio X.
You think you can just point a microphone at me and I'm just entertaining with no context? Ask me a question.
If we are opposed to these secretive police networks, how should the government pursue legitimate terrorist elements within our country?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, first of all, the government should stop blocking and interfering with all the attempts of the rest of the world to integrate itself into some kind of less violent, more democratic international structure.
You're referring to that that wacko organization called the United Nations?
That's one of them. I mean, there's many different ways to do it, and the United States government is opposed to all of them, and which creates a situation where there's terrorists. I mean, there are few terrorists in Missouri, because people in Missouri who have issues with what's going on have other outlets for their frustrations.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that the law enforcement intelligence unit is kind of pointless because we don't have any domestic terrorists?
I'm saying that there's other uses of public energy that would be more effective at redirecting people's discontent in less violent directions. That the law enforcement intelligence unit is not going to catch terrorists. Terrorists are not dumb. I mean,
they're not going to call up the FBI and ask them to call the police department and warn them of their actions. Is that what's going on?
The LEIU is going to spend most of its energy pursuing people who do their stuff in public, like us.
Right.
And people who are really working really hard not to get caught usually are not going to get caught.
Yes, it does seem like they're diverting their attention to the wrong things.
I suspect that's what's going on. I mean, the administration's major... Now, well, this is like a sort of quasi-governmental... Law enforcement people are almost entirely Republican. Okay? You know, conservatives on Fox TV complain about how the whole rest of the media is liberal because almost all journalists are Democrats. Well, almost all law enforcement people and soldiers, for that matter, are Republican. And
so you're saying that an 18-year-old soldier already has a political orientation? That's credible, and they... My sister's in boot camp right now. I don't think she knows anything about...
Oh, really? Does she vote?
She's not a... Well, she's not a citizen of the U.S. She's going to fight for us. But
I see. All yeah. right. Well, she's just a slave of the government. But the ones who actually are registered as anything tend to be Republican. And so whenever they get together in secret and like try to figure out who they're going to fuck with and who they're going to help, you know, they're not going to be neutral. This is not a neutral organization. It has an inherent political agenda just because of who it consists of.
Who are they targeting?
Well, their agenda is basically to enhance property rights at the expense of everything else.
And so do you think that they're just creating jobs for the American people?
Well, the economy is carefully managed to maintain a situation where there's almost enough jobs for everybody, but not quite, so that there'll be this leftover segment of the workforce that's constantly scrambling to try to keep its head above water, which will keep wages minimized and keep working conditions under the control of the employers. So it's not really a matter of they've got it carefully managed so that there's a certain number of jobs out there, and it's not really a political issue. They don't argue in Congress about how many jobs they're going to be next year.
All right, the LEIU, the yeah. Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's sponsored by Starbucks, and right now, up until 8 o'clock, so we still have some time left if anyone wants to go out and let their local Starbucks know. Now, it's a nonviolent informational picket line, so we should not be throwing Starbucks merchandise at the workers. Maybe. I mean, that's a personal thing, but... It does state that it's nonviolent on the flyer, so you're not with this flyer if you're there throwing merchandise at the workers. All
right.
All right. Let's see. The closest one to us, because we are located downtown, is on 4th and Pine, and we have some other ones: Madison Park, 4000 East Madison, the one in Queen Anne, 2135 Queen Anne North, West Seattle, 4101. Admiral Southwest in the U District, 4555 University Way. In Ballard, 2204 Market. Wallingford, 2110 North 45th. Broadway, 434 Broadway. South End, MLK and Rainier. Central District, 23rd in Jackson and in Magnolia, 3320 McCraw. There we go. So if you want to go ahead and show your support, it's until 8 o'clock tonight. Show up. Picket signs will be provided. If you don't have a voice yourself, you can just be mindlessly given a picket sign.
So I'll play another clip that I recorded at 4th and Pine, speaking to bypassers of this informational picket. And not a lot of people were engaging very much with the protesters or the informational picketers. There was a lot of kind of ad hoc street theater going on, looked like a kind of a festive environment, but perhaps not a lot of dialogue between passersby. I think people in Seattle are getting a little jaded. You know, they already have their stance and they hold their hand up to their face as they pass the protesters. No, thank you. No flyers, please. Okay.
Radio X in Seattle.
I'm with a passerby here at Starbucks on 4th and Pine. And I was curious, have you heard of the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit before?
No, I haven't. This is the first I heard of it, you know, during this whole protest thing going on here. So,
What was your? Did you speak with any of the protesters? Did you have any discussion or?
Not yet. I haven't really had an opportunity to. I just picked up a flyer from one of them that I was taking a look at, but.
Can you give me your opinion on on the balance between security at one end and freedoms at the other end? Do you have some opinion on what you think the proper balance is?
Well, I can tell you that I don't like the direction that the country's going in as far as the balance goes. I think that it's getting to the point where they're starting to think that they can overstep an awful lot of boundaries and invade people's privacy. And detain people even, in some cases, where I don't think it would have been legal before, and I don't think it should be legal for them to do now.
I'm here with them. So many of the people that I spoke with had no idea what the LEIU was about. I tried to give them my objective perspective.
Your objective perspective?
Yeah, I tried to be as objective as possible. The example I gave them was that this organization is the organization that when there's a serial murderer in Georgia, that serial murderer's information gets added to all the databases between all the law enforcement agencies. So that might be the plus side of this organization, arguably, that this would be good. And then the downside, I think, we're covering that. There's quite a long list on the downside. So that was an example I gave to people as the positive, and then I told them the negative is that they don't tell us what they do. They're a secretive organization. They're unaccountable. They do not have to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests, and we're just left to worry about our civil liberties continuing to disappear.
So this is also along the lines of the code coloring. We're such a festive rainbow country that we have code coloring to identify what level of alert the country should be in order of, just in case there's another terrorist action taken against us. So I guess this is kind of along the same lines of Code Yellow was worrying a lot of people because it wasn't so much, it was just keeping tabs on everyday people and what they were doing.
Code Yellow?
Code Yellow. I'm going to look up exactly what that monitors because it was it was a gray area. I'm going to look that up for you guys.
Did Code Yellow concern you?
Code Yellow did.
Still at Code Yellow?
I think we went back down to Code Yellow.
I think so. I think it's gone back and forth between elevated and a high ever since the system was created.
Right. And I think it's operating efficiently. If it's always elevated or high, that would be serving its goals.
It's sort of manic. That's the clinical definition of mania, I think.
So I actually convinced a security guard in the general area to give me a little interview down there at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll let him speak his mind as well. Here you go. I'm here with a security guard that's in the general area. I was curious if you'd give us your personal opinions on the protest that's being staged against Starbucks today.
Well, freedom's a wonderful thing, and it's about freedom of speech, and they're doing what people need to do when they're informed on a situation. And as long as they respect the rights of the people around them, then they should continue, and I would promote it. They just can't put their rights and opinions above the people around them. So, I wish them luck, and I hope everybody stays safe.
What are your thoughts on the existence of, do you support the idea of a secret police network here in the United States?
Well, if you're referring to the LEIU, I really don't know enough about it myself. I'm in the process of learning about it. I'm reading the literature that they're providing, and I am at the same time looking at sources on the internet and trying to use the local media to find out more information.
I'm with a...
What, we're making quacking noises now?
Quack.
Quack.
Quack, quack. Quack. So I thought he had some fairly reasonable opinions there. He was a little nervous. He didn't want to be identified and lose his job or anything. But he was... that was a security guard on the scene in the general area.
Right, right. See, anybody who thinks that you shouldn't lose your job just for saying the wrong thing to a reporter is a subversive... What? The mic is totally in my face, dude. That can't be the problem.
Okay.
It's the Nathaniel show right now.
What? Oh, ask me a question. Be an interviewer.
How do anarchists put out fires? Fires in buildings,
large fires,
emergency has to be put out like in the next 10 minutes, or it's going to get out of hand.
I see. Well, anarchists are not against fire departments. I guess I don't understand your question.
Right. I probably have a lot of assumptions that I'm bringing to the question, and one assumption is that an efficient emergency response network,
yes,
might be highly hierarchical.
Or
maybe that's just my understanding of efficient emergency response networks.
Well, the essence of hierarchy is if somebody is going to lock you up if you don't obey orders, and I don't think that's necessary to the operation of a fire department. In fact, many fire departments across the country are run entirely by volunteers, if somebody in the fire department doesn't do his job right, they're usually not shot or locked up for years. They're just, eased out of their position of responsibility, which I think is totally within the realm of utterly conventional anarchist organizational theory. So I don't think that we have any problem with that at all.
Okay, now you get to ask me a question.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was going to say, well, the quick sort of jokey answer to your question of how do anarchists put out fires is we stomp them out with our combat boots, dude. So how do you like running a radio station, Brandon?
I find it to be pretty empowering. That's the short answer.
Huh. What do you think the best way is to generate listenership now that everybody can have their own radio station and we each have 3 listeners?
I think we should just yell into the mic more. Listen, listen.
How about better programming?
One of our hosts suggests that we just create some better programming.
Better programming.
Instead of having these short, impromptu, personal dialogues about ourselves on air. Okay, I was embellishing her words.
Well, I mean, have you heard commercial radio, like commercial talk radio lately? I mean, I don't. Well, let's see. Hillary Clinton says her hubby lied to her about his affair with Monica Lewinsky in the paper today.
That's totally unbelievable. I have some more audio I'd like to play. Yeah, this is an interview with K.L. Shannon.
I'm just trying to fill some dead air here.
Yeah, no, good job. Good job. Hillary, 2004. Or not.
Yes.
Okay, K.L. Shannon interview from today, June 4th, down at Westlake Center. I'm here with K.L. Shannon downtown at 4th and Pine. Can you give us a sense of what the goal of today's informational picket against Starbucks is?
Basically, the goal today is just to inform the public of the fact that Starbucks is sponsoring a conference like LEIU, and that they need to be accountable, and that we need to make them accountable. As we have maintained from the beginning, that the LEIU is a breeding ground for those that want to continue this war on communities of color. And so we feel that it's important that we expose the LEIU for their actions. Earlier this afternoon at 12, we went down to the corporate office to deliver a letter to Howard Schultz. We received a rude reception. There were police all over the area. No one from their office would come down, and I'm talking about management, Howard Schultz, none of them would come down. So basically what happened is that we had to, you know, they said that we could take the letter, that one of us could take the letter up, but we felt that we wanted to do this as a collective, and that's what we did. And so our concern is that we had to give our letter to a security person. So we don't even know if Howard Schultz received the letter. Okay.
At the press conference on Tuesday, you mentioned two things. You mentioned you had been shot with a rubber bullet and sprayed with OC gas. I just wanted to know if you could confirm that and tell
that
us about.
True.
And where were you hit with a rubber bullet?
I was hit on my side, on the right side.
And what were you doing at the time?
I was trying to get people. We were moving people to Westlake. People were moving, so it wasn't necessary for them to do what they did.
And you're on the security team, is that true?
Yes, I was on the security team.
Briefly, what does that mean?
That means basically that we are the security for the march.
And another question, you mentioned that there were several undercover officers that
yes.
you felt instigated some of the events. I was wondering if you could just briefly give us a sense of how many and specifically what they did to incite.
I don't know how many undercover officers that were in the march, but the two officers that I'm particularly talking about are the ones that grabbed the kid, threw him over the barrier, and then themselves tried to get on there, get over the barrier. And the police didn't even know who they were. So my point is that what they did was a provocateur act that could have been avoided. They could have waited until we got back to Westlake to deal with that kid. But what they were doing was a provocateur act.
You in court, officer.
Hey, this is Kate back at Radio X in Seattle live on June 4th at, is it 7:45? It looks like it is. All right. So I've looked up the color coding, and here's what it is. The Not So Friendly Skies is the title.
What color coding is this?
I'm getting to that. The color coding in the Not So Friendly Skies. It's a secretive new system for conducting background checks on all airline passengers, because this is a security issue. I will agree that security checks do need to be instated in the airports, but I think the way that they're going about doing it is kind of ridiculous. Taking away tweezers. Some people's fingernails are very sharp too. I'm wondering when we're going to start instating like fingernail clipping.
That's
checkpoints.
Right. Well, so you'll have to check your teeth. We're going to have to pull all your teeth before you get on the plane.
So, here we go. Okay. The computer-assisted passenger pre-screening system number 2, CAPS for short, will be tested at several airports around the United States starting sometime in March. Delta Airlines has already signed up to use the system. Let's see, skip a little bit further down. Okay. Under the program, Americans will be labeled as green, yellow, or red security risk. The red code would be reserved for those on the terrorist watch list. So I'm assuming they're not going to make it on the Delta flights. No matter how much they paid for their ticket. What else do we have? Far less clear is who would get the yellow code in their file. Those passengers would be subject to extra intensive security screening. They say these screenings are actually random, but sometimes when I'm going through the airport, and I think it's because I buy my ticket online, because security guard was telling me this one time. I don't know how credible that is. I'll be stopped like 2 or 3 times taking off my shoes. And I mean, like, everyone goes through this these days. It seems like everyone feels it's very necessary. Let me see. So an extra intensive security screening. Details of the program reveal that a yellow code in a person's file could be shared with other government agencies at federal, state, and local level, with intelligence agencies such as the CIA, with foreign governments and international agencies, all of which could use those designations for many purposes, including employment decisions and the granting of government benefits. Once the infrastructure for a system of government files and security ratings on American systems is built, it won't be limited to air transportation for very long, added Barry Steinhardt, director of ACLU's Technology and Liberty Program. Nothing like it has ever been done in this country. So this is, I think this is relating to the law enforcement unit in town. What do you think, Nathaniel?
I hardly ever flew before 9/11/01, and I have no interest in getting on an airplane now. Like, why would anybody want to go through that? The bus is not that bad.
Well, when a flight takes a half hour and a bus takes a day or two, like, that's pretty dramatic.
Well, it's the modern Western obsession with instant gratification, I think, coming back to haunt everyone.
Far too much attention paid to getting everything done as soon as possible.
Okay, I fly. I don't know. That's just a stupid argument. A lot of people are going to continue to fly. I think what I was actually asking was not whether or not you were planning on giving your money to Delta or American Airlines or United or whoever, but about the color coding, which can be shared with other intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
And linking that to the law enforcement unit.
Pink. Gentry wants pink.
A pink color? What would that stand for?
Happiness. Right. Yeah,
I don't think they're going to add pink simply because they're doing a rainbow, and pink is a mixture of red and white.
Right.
So there's no place to put it between red and orange.
Let's see.
And I don't think once you get past red, you can go from terrorist to happy.
Happy terrorist.
I like red, but red in this case and in many cases in the documents of governmental agencies is not a good color to have.
I knew a fellow in California who wrote in for his FBI file like you can do. And of course it takes years to get it, and you got to argue with him and appeal and shit. And it, eventually they allegedly give you a copy of your file.
Is a lot of it blacked out when you receive it?
Well, the response they gave him was he didn't have one.
Mm. Right?
So, and he's, I'm not going to say what he was into, but he had some reasons to imagine that he might have one, and he didn't. The relationship between cops...
He didn't have one?
No, he didn't have one.
Okay.
Or at least that's what they said.
Hmm.
The relationship between cops collecting information on people and people actually being dangerous is just random. I mean, I probably don't have any kind of intelligence files on me just because I don't throw my real legal name around all the time. And it's pretty easy to avoid any official scrutiny getting connected to your actual legal identity. And the only way that you would have an extensive police file is if you're doing things in the open and taking responsibility for them publicly, which means that it shouldn't even be a police issue.
It seems you could also get a police file generated on you by covert monitoring. So let's say you're not doing things out in the open, but there are all these, secretive police networks that might have informants and undercover police officers at the rally Monday. We experienced firsthand a couple of undercover officers being right there in the crowd and jumping this person that they wanted to arrest. So, good advice you're offering. I'm just saying that it seems like with our increasing police state, it might be easier than you suggest to have a file.
Well, I'm sure there are terrorists getting on airplanes, and I'm sure some of the people who show up to their flights have red codes next to their names, but I am not at all convinced that they're the same people.
Okay, so very interesting. I don't know. I probably don't have a file on me, and I would like to not obtain one, but looking through this, I think the thing that was alarming for people was that the yellow code was so vague, and that different agencies could just go ahead and swap information like baseball cards, and that could affect employment or government benefits.
Huh.
So,
right.
That would be the relevance. And I'm still going to fly, by the way.
What's that?
I'm going to fly.
You're
going to
fly?
Yeah,
what's your code? Actually. Do they tell you your code if you ask them?
I don't know. You know, I get searched an awful lot. Maybe I look suspicious.
Huh.
I don't, but you know, and this is the thing. If I was going to be a terrorist, and depending on whose definition, I mean, this could be terrorism, although it's not, like, in my mind, like, talking freely is not terrorism. I probably wouldn't, you know, spike my hair up or, you know, wear steel-toe boots. I'd probably look pretty normal. So, I don't know. I'm guessing the reason I get searched all the time is probably I bought my ticket online. That's all I have to say about flying. Now we have a clip to play. It's Radio X in Seattle. And we're going to play you this clip and be back in a minute.
I'm here at 4th and Pine in front of there's a Starbucks informational picket going on against the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit. Have you heard of the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit before?
No, I haven't.
They're a private organization that is accused of being a secret police network. So without knowing much about them, can you give us a sense of where you stand, perhaps on the balance between security at one end and freedom at the other?
Well, I think we're all losing our freedom slowly but surely, at least in this administration and the way things are going. And it doesn't seem like anybody's willing to speak up about it, at least in the government.
So. Are you a Seattle citizen?
Yes.
And this is a rough cut radio here. Sorry, folks. Unedited.
Rough cut radio.
We're moving forward.
Forward.
Get pretty close. Oh, real close like this.
Okay. Yeah, they keep telling me if your lips aren't touching the microphone, they can't hear you. I don't know what the deal is.
You got to make out with the mic. At least once a day. So
who's used this mic before?
Let's see.
Question.
So he seemed concerned, actually. Not only did he speak into the microphone that cut him off, he actually seemed concerned that he might not have as many freedoms. And, you know, I work in a place where they sing the national anthem every time I go to work. Where could that be? And every time the word free comes up, I don't know where I work, for the record. Every time the word free comes up, it does once every time the national anthem is sung, if anyone isn't aware. A lot of applause happens. Like, right at that word, I could time it when people are going to applaud. So it's like, maybe someone does something wonderful on the... Okay, maybe someone hits a home run. Okay, they cheer then, and they cheer during free. And I'm not really sure what people's definition of free is, because...
It doesn't cost anything.
Is that what it is?
That's free, right?
It's cheap.
It's a happy
Our
word.
Liberties are pretty cheap then, right? No.
They don't cost anything, do they?
I'd probably pay money for
soldiers'
my liberties.
Soldier's blood or something.
I don't know. What do liberties cost?
They keep saying those soldiers' blood is going for our freedom, but I'm not sure that's happened since 1812.
Neither am I, really. I mean... I would like it to be like protesters' blood or something, right?
Oh, wow. Are you volunteering?
Well, no. I don't like getting beaten with sticks or anything.
Yeah.
Well, in certain circumstances. But.
We'll have to do on the show on that later when the children have all gone to bed. Protesters' blood. Let's see. It's 8 o'clock. I want to know how things were going out at Starbucks. If anyone knows, they could call in. That would be nice. The number is 206-262-0721.
Yes.
And... Sure. We're going to go to
Sir,
an audio
clip.
Sir,
have you ever consorted with hippies?
I've been accused as much.
Have you ever traveled?
Several times.
Have you ever been to a protest?
I never believed in it. I only just, you know, showed up to watch.
Ah. Have you ever disagreed with the government?
Never. Never. I would never do that.
Well, I'm afraid that we have a record saying that you travel too much. So, according to us, the LEIU, you are a possible terrorist. We have an FBI profile against you. Just thought you should know.
Was that a real LEIU spokesperson?
She looked completely legitimate.
They're pretty straightforward and honest, aren't they?
They are for a secretive organization.
That's awesome.
I wonder if we'll have any calls saying that that wasn't a legitimate. Do you think they'll call us?
Okay, it was not a legitimate LEIU representative. It was a protester trying to wiggle loose things that were in my mind, trying to make me think.
Did she wiggle anything loose? Did you think?
Did he ask her to beat you with sticks?
Way too silly, way too silly. More uninformed America. I mean, more audio clips.
Who are you calling uninformed?
Reporting for the Seattle Independent Media Center. It's June 4th. Is it June 4th?
Yeah.
Excellent. Wednesday. And I'm here with a few people from out of town. And I was just curious what you think or what you know of the law enforcement intelligence unit.
Well, I just thought it was very sad. I'm not too familiar with the background, but on TV how they were treating the activists and the protesters violently, and I think they could have used different extremes to subdue the actions that were going on.
And from what I saw, it didn't seem like there was any violence.
Stand by one second.
Started. I feel like the police were more aggressive than the protesters themselves. So if they were to use other means, I feel that it could have like worked without them needing to use tear gas and all of that. And yeah.
So, how do you feel about secret police in America?
I feel like I'm in a movie. I don't know what to feel because I feel like the American people should know the types of protections or government agencies that are around and available to us rather than keep it from us. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't understand why it's a problem that's existed in the government for a long time, keeping things from the public. Like, we need to know. And I'm kind of offended that they hide the from us, and I feel that they need to make things like this public to everyone so that we can have our opinion as to how it should be run or, you know, if they should exist at all.
So, it's looking like our mini-disc player is in excellent working condition. But if anyone would like to donate another one to our numerous supply of equipment.
I've never heard of any mini-disc technological object working for more than a couple months. I would recommend to all our listeners that they go with something solid state.
Go with what?
So, you know, one of those record audio on a chip devices rather than messing around with the mini discs. Mini disc devices break.
So going back to the LEIU.
If you don't like what I'm talking about, ask me a question.
I'm going back there. Let's see. So she actually talked to you and she seemed concerned. So a lot of people are seeming concerned that how many people talked to you? What would you say the percentage was?
Well, only one person that I spoke to had heard of the LEIU before this weekend's activities, or this week's activities. I interviewed about seven or eight individuals.
And how many people are in the downtown area on 4th and Pine that did not wish to speak with you?
There was actually only two people, maybe three groups of people that I approached did not wish to speak, and mainly that was because they had no idea what the LEIU was.
Okay.
As I said, only one person I spoke with knew what the LEIU was, and I thought he was a cop.
That's actually pretty surprising. Speaking of police officers, I'm hearing that there's a lot of undercover officers attending the riots. I mean, protests. In Seattle, the difference is very slim, it seems. And I'm wondering, because this is unknown at the studio as do they have to give out their badge numbers if approached?
Well, I saw a lot of them like questioned on that, and like the
they didn't think
days,
they were cops.
They just don't respond. They just walk away.
So they didn't believe they were police respond. Officers.
I don't think
it was
they
Halloween.
Feel they need to talk to anyone they don't want to talk to or shout commands at.
Right. Well, if they're undercover, that's understandable. They don't need to blow their cover. But my question is actually, and if anyone here doesn't know it, maybe someone could call in. If they're having an interaction with someone, which is perhaps violent, do they then need to give their badge number? Or do they arrest people personally, or do they send them over to the stormtroopers?
Somebody's badge number has to go on the citation that goes with their arrest, but I've never heard of anybody getting off, like not being convicted of a crime because some cop refused to give its badge number. So even if there's some law that says they're supposed to tell us if we ask them, there's no way to hold them accountable for it.
I think the accountability is the main thing. I mean, how are you supposed to... Well, some officer with no badge on... I mean, like, it could be anyone. It could be someone pretending to be an undercover cop.
I do that all the time. But just in my own home.
Do you get somebody to beat you with sticks while you're doing that?
Occasionally.
We're going to need to shift pretty quickly here to the show about gentries. I wanted to comment that K.L. Shannon addressed this directly yesterday. Sorry, this is... yesterday, Tuesday, at a press conference at 11 a.m., where she demanded that the city council and Mayor Nichols hold Seattle's undercover police accountable. So maybe we should play that clip real quick.
Yes.
Wow, exciting. Okay, let me cue that up. That'll just take 1 second. It was an interview. Well, actually, it was a statement at a press conference by K.L. Shannon.
Ask the city council. Mayor Nichols to ask the.
Okay, here we go. Here's that interview, the statement made by K.L. Shannon on June 3rd.
My name is K.L. Shannon, and I was part of the security team last night.
And
I think that while we're talking about what happened with the police and all, we need to really ask the city council and the mayor, Mayor Nichols, to ask the undercover police officers that I feel, from what we observed, instigated all of this. Because they decided to go after this kid that was on the roof. Yes, he was trying to burn the flag. Yes, he was trying to do it without success. When they pulled him out of the crowd, when the kid got off the roof, the police gave us a 2-minute warning. Why would these plainclothes officers, why would they go after the kid right then and there? Especially when you know how tense the situation was. They could have waited until we went to Westlake. That right there was a provocateur act. It was already tense. And it's clear that the police are not communicating with each other because they did not even know that those officers were undercover. When they threw that kid over the barrier, and the undercover officers were trying to get over the barrier, they had to tell the officers that were standing there did not know that they were plainclothes. They were saying, we're cops. So what needs to happen is that city council needs to ask those plainclothes officers, demand that they come and ask, why did you do that? Why would you do that when the police gave us a 2-minute warning? And then you do something like that when you know the situation is tense. What happened last night did not have to happen. So we cannot forget about those undercover officers. We're talking about what the police did. We cannot forget about those undercover officers. There was a number of undercover officers in the crowd that instigated a lot of this, and it did not have to happen. I was part of the security team. I saw what happened on Fifth Avenue. And as far as the crowd throwing things, that didn't occur until after the police started spraying people. And yes, I can say that because I got shot with the rubber bullet. I got pepper sprayed in my face.
My
We were trying to get people to vote last night. And I think that while we're talking about what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To all the Jim Carrey ass. Mars Co-op. You know what I'm saying? Mars Co-op. What the fuck? To the clones. Blast the domes. Logan Val. You know my style. Mars Co-op.
First of all, let's talk about these ill capers and fly ass frontin' bitches that now caught vapors. Niggas run up on you with guns, snatchin' papers. Outlaw body chart is how they will scrape ya from off the pavement. I hate getting locked up cause that upstate bus reminds me of the slave ship. But then the Bible never saved shit. I guess that's why every juvenile is in the same predicament. You wanna slay crack, a whole text, and do the concept. You can't make loot when your moms are smoking up the product. I try to tell ya, don't let these streets fucking fail ya. The way niggas be getting clapped, the shit'll fucking scare ya. But in the dark, we ran wild, so we killing them. Niggas scared, can't stand still, like fucking helium. Fake niggas, they don't go platinum, they go aluminum. Got them cloned the fuck up, son, that's why we losing them. I'm looking at this thing as longevity to make a big play. But then it might be a mistake, cause if I get sent to DC, I'm sending dice to DE with three P's. So when I get out, he can see me for real. Cause the streets is filled with snakes and rats. The snake will be that, and that rat will be that cool cat. With swollen pockets, we gon' take it back home. Master of law, rule savior, never clone.
The Roots on Radio X.
Slap you in your face and erase your taste. Disgrace your gate, put your title to waste. Dominant lyrical grace from a place called Wild Illidale, Val Pincy. That's the residency, consistent currency. My pockets never empty. Some cats believe they MC, but we know they all fraud. Do a show in Philly, niggas wouldn't applaud. Nobody know your record nor who you open it for. Could tell your squad's artificial while approaching the door. So you should prepare for lyrical terror that's pure. Step up to the reservoir of the soul proprietor style messiah or the Kaya Lord down with dice roar. The matador shorty connoisseur stomping whatever you build to the floor. Similar to that of a dinosaur. I told you I'm the rap predator. You insist to imitate what for? Superstar niggas is 10% real. 90% invented for a fucking record deal. Coming with something veterans can't feel. I hit you like a steel anvil because you grafted off the next man's skill. But still, I remain mellow. Seeing the theatrics of Othello. But know the tactics of Rumpy Ello. D-C-L-O-N-E-S. Best. The phony ass cats is felonious. Word.
Lyricist, corner store, terrorist, black trooper, connoisseur of fine cannabis, focus never weak, blow up the spot like plastic, leave a nigga shook to the point he won't speak, never half-ass, always live and direct, on private parts, more than panty and bra sex, bad lights, I had to black out when fake niggas act out or step out of place, they get slapped in their face, all y'all niggas is fake, trying to emulate my style, a grown man, in this game, to me you're a child, I train black MCs in camps like ex-marines, why the fuck you think you went home and had bad dreams of horrifying things that your ass never seen before. You travel through the realm of dice roll. My clones get they dumb blown with chrome microphones. It's not your fault, black, it's the fact you wasn't shown. Your cartoon is like a smirk. A natural is not from this earth. Represent what I've been like, this is birth. And I won't be the last, but I definitely was the first. Dice roll, big call, Logan Val, so joy.
Across that line to pay your cost. Knuckle games and hammer cock, they nothing sweet or soft. Win, lose, the draw to the jaw, take one. Deranged lyrical launcher on station. No conversation is needed, my task completed. Read a nigga up and down in the cut where I'm seated. Snatch you from your cloud of cannabis, you ignoramuses. Your leg on your lap when I attack your glamorous lifestyle. I banged your head up with the rifle. My character a product of this 215 tripe style. I breeze through areas, niggas with fear to walking. Balance the talking, that galactic style is ever rocking. Your Star Trek ass will wrinkle. Screw these words and form into a sprinkle. Cap your brought up the nickname a twinkle. My insight will crack the windpipe of y'all niggas. Whether small, middle size, or tall niggas. Just sign your name next when I start the X. Giving out flesh pains to death to fuck a rain check. The insane vet, whether you gank the brain wet. You perceive the lame check, the opposite of same sex. I annihilate your type if you violate. Making your blood rush, your pulse now at a higher rate.
The Roots on Radio X. I'm glad you're listening, and I encourage you to call in. If not today, then another day. Later this week, we'll be covering the LEIU training seminar that's being hosted in Seattle this week, and is being sponsored by a long list of corporations: Microsoft, Starbucks, Accruent, I hope I pronounced that right, and ChoicePoint. ChoicePoint being a company, I think a company that deserves a little bit more scrutiny. Let me just mention briefly a little bit about ChoicePoint. Posted to the Seattle Independent Media Center's newswire. Okay, I'll admit, I posted it. Get to know ChoicePoint. They already know you. Basically, it's a list of links, and it's an opportunity for people to find out a little bit more about ChoicePoint. If you're not familiar with ChoicePoint, they were the company hired by the government of Florida, Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris, to purge voter rolls of felons. So this sounds, you know, if you agree with the law that felons can't vote, then this sounds like a fine thing for a company to get hired to do. They were paid $2 million by the state. I believe they were handed a list of potential felons, and their job, ChoicePoint's job, was to identify and verify that these people were, in fact, felons living in Florida, and then, you know, then they could be removed from the voter rolls. Well, it turns out ChoicePoint did not make any telephone calls to verify any of these people. They were all just removed from the voter rolls. Over 50% of the list were black voters. And Greg Palast has written extensively on this subject, and he states it as a plain fact that if this... Oh, I'm sorry, I've missed the most important fact. That is that of the, I believe it's 57,000 people that were purged from the Florida voting rolls prior to the 2000 presidential election, 90% of those people were innocent of felonies. ChoicePoint. So, look into ChoicePoint. They're an interesting organization. They have workplace services to help screen potential employees. I guess they do DNA testing as well. They sell products for DNA testing. And I'm unsure of this, but I believe they've been awarded quite a large number of contracts for voting machines that would be used here in America. I guess given the exemplary job they did in Florida prior to the 2000 elections, everybody pretty much agrees that they should be doing a lot more of this. People accuse them of having a lot of Republicans on their board and thus being in the pocket of the Republican Party. So, I haven't heard a lot about ChoicePoint, so hopefully people will do some more research with regard to what they're up to and why they're supporting, with a sponsorship, the LEIU training seminar. Earlier today, I was up at Westlake Plaza, as I've mentioned 35 times so far today, and there was a gentleman and a woman doing a little performance art piece. The woman was playing a violin, and the gentleman was reading from an Allen Ginsberg book. So I'd just like to play you a bit of that right now.
Repeating outside the window, madman! Madman suddenly writes! The pistol shot outside repeated. Situations experienced in return to the same place in the universal creation time. And every time the world in return to the... We have recognized again that we have been here. That is the key to creation, the same pistol shot. Down! Down! Bending over the books of unintelligible marvels with his mustache, his gun. My madness is intelligible recreations to un-phenomena.
Boy, what a marvelous bottle. A clear glass sphere of transparent liquid there. Great creator,
what's going on against Starbucks over here, man?
Most of the people were pretty interested in what he was doing, but I'm not sure the full context of the performance art piece was getting across. He was moving around quite a bit, and as you could hear, emoting quite a bit. Probably pretty easy to emote when you're reading Allen Ginsberg. So, you know, if we had Public Enemy here, they might say,
mind over matter, mouth and motion, can't the fight, cause I'll never be quiet. Let's start this. And hold. Forgiveness, torture, the system that brought ya. I'm on a mission and you got that right. Add fuel to the fire, punch to the fight. Many have forgotten what you came here for. I never knew I had a clue, so you're on the floor. Just growing, not knowing about your past. Now you're looking pretty stupid while you're shaking your ass. Mind over matter, mouth and most. You can't defy, cause I'll never be quiet. Let's start this.
Radio X. Your patriotic radio station.
From sea to shining sea.
Michael Moore was asked, what he was doing hijacking the Oscars like that. And he said, well, I'm an American. And the Clear Channel reporter, peppering him, said, that's it? And he said, isn't that enough? Isn't that what it's all about? Freedom to dissent? Isn't that what we're fighting for?
What? I don't understand.
You don't understand Michael Moore? Or you don't understand the power of...
That one.
Oh. You're on.
Oh, now I'm on. Have I taken something that I forgot about?
You're free now. You're seeing the world for the first time.
So what's the question of the day?
This ain't Fox News, baby. Question of the day.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with the LEIU?
Well, I was going to invite them all back to my place for a beer, but I got a hot tub, too. At least three of them could fit in it. I've managed to get more than that in, but not LEIU members. I figure, you know, donuts make them bigger.
Are you being discriminatory against people who eat donuts and are fat? Oh, hang on.
I would just like to say this is a call-in show, and I have just walked down to 4th and Pine, excuse me, to the Starbucks location that the protest ended.
She actually 20 skateboarded.
Minutes ago. I skateboarded. I lied. I'm sorry. That was a correction typo. Okay, so I go down there, and I'm glad there's people out there, but why is everyone so microphone shy? And furthermore, they're not responsible for our call-in show. The people calling in are. And since there's no one calling in, I hold you as listeners all accountable for not calling in and making our call-in show suck.
That's because no one's listening.
You guys can't
decide. No, there's people listening.
People love us.
They
you
need
know
to
what?
Prove it.
I know these things. I'm like the intelligence unit.
There's
I know
people are listening. But there's not that
it's
many
all right. I'm
listening.
Not going to complain too much. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take action, and I'm going to go skateboard. So. Well, I don't, you know, it might not stop the LEIU.
Like,
you it might
harass.
Give them something to do.
Exactly.
Oh, that rhymes. I have way too much time on my hands. This show is way too silly. And I love you guys listening, by the way. You should tune in more often. And what else? What else do I have to say? Yeah, I wish everyone wasn't so microphone shy. It's not as if you guys can see me, which is almost to my benefit, right?
We're a good-looking crowd of radio
people,
though.
No, we're really
good-looking.
The point is that they're not going to know me when they see me. So, right? Is that good? I thought it was good. I can't be held accountable, is my point. Unless you guys come in on Thursdays and watch me spin. All right. Back to the point. I'm skateboarding, and you guys should have been calling in, and you still have a chance, 206-262-0721. All right. Back to the music. Maybe there's no music.
That's always good.
Rasta.
Some ska.
Bring it.
If them want to win the revolution, they must win it with Rasta. Mm-hmm. It can't win no other way. Because if you win other way, you have to fight again. When you Rasta win, there's no more war.
Yeah.
Hear the words of the Rasta man say.
Suffer.
judge that it was so far. Yeah. Masters of the people so far.
I said, fly away home to Zion. Fly away home. One bright morning when my work is over, man, we'll fly away home.
Take it back to the homeland where the holy, sacred, and pure is at. Nah, I mean.
One bright morning, yeah. When my work is over, man, we'll fly away.
Yeah, fool, boy, you must have one die. Anyhow, you try disrespecting Selassie I. Rock to your foot and tab in your eye with proper information about Rastafari. Right. Make sure we read Bible and salute the Most High. The ones we don't know, them are the most we ask why. Did his imperial majesty really get crucified? All out, yeah. Really get the color blue in the sky. Why after you feed the youth, the baby still a cry? You need job inside of your life, and not tell you no lie. Better believe that I and I will really verify. Fine. Spirit of Selassie I will take you very high. And if we stop, we time, you know if it down the other guy. Die. Long time we wait for see we people unify. Fine. Clean out yourself and really start purify. Fine. When done uniform, you know we straight multiply.
Straight multiply, you know we straight multiply.
I say fly away.
To the Most High, since my B-Day up to this day, he's close by, watching over me, while Babylon scoping me. From my mother's womb, they took my mind and started molding me. Like Pookie on the crack, I heard the devil calling me. By the powers of Jah, he took the devils off of me. I can see clearly now, I'm stepping with authority. God bless you, I got the whole world supporting me. Jah is my friend, different from my enemy, damn. I talk to him, shouting out, looking up at heaven. Gave me a call, he said, I want you to tell them all, that all you shall witness when Babylon fall. All you shall witness when Babylon fall, all you shall witness when Babylon fall.
Yeah. Street Chronicle for the evening. Truth undisputed. Flip Mode Squad. Busta Rhymes. Split Star. Steve Marley and the Marley Fam.
One time too many, yet a brother gotta be coming out his nickels and counting up his last pennies. Buying brushes and bum rushing homies greenery. Many empty but hill of beans. I'm painting the White House black. It ain't no feature in your frontin', so why the hell he frontin', Jack? It'll either change or we gon' change.
Yeah, it's getting old.
Using everything from spray cans to charcoal. Put them out and put the crew up on discharge. Leaving wet paint